Hello, I'm Ian Anderson-Gray, and this is the Smart ADHD Podcast. Now, if you're a smart creative, entrepreneur, or business owner navigating your life with ADHD, this is the podcast for you. Now, I'm no ADHD expert, but I'm eager to share my story on what I've learned by talking with experts, as well as digging into the personal ADHD stories of successful creatives and entrepreneurs. I was diagnosed at age 46, and it answered so many questions in my life. But of course, that was in many ways only the start of my journey. So let's learn together. Smart stories, smart strategies, smart ADHD. Hello, Ian Anderson-Gray here. Well, this is a special bonus episode of the Smart ADHD podcast. I was recently on my good friend Jeff C's show, the Social Media News Live show, and we were talking about ADHD on that. I was talking about my experience and particularly ADHD for creators and entrepreneurs. And that's really part of what this podcast is all about. And I thought the conversation was really interesting, and I'd done quite a bit of research and thought a lot about it. And the conversation was really interesting. So what I've done is I've taken the first 20, 25 minutes or so of that show, and I'm going to play it to you today. And I will be playing the next half of it in the future as well. So this is it's a reasonably short 20, 25 minute episode. And I think you'll find it really interesting. So it's Jeff C and Connor Brown. They are the hosts and guest hosts, and I'm the guest. So that's kind of what this is. I'll be back next week with a proper episode, but I hope you enjoy this bonus episode, and well, let's get on with it right now.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C, and you're not.
And I'm Connor Brown, and this is the show that keeps you up to date on what's happening in the world of social media and more.
Have you ever wondered how ADHD might be a powerful tool in entrepreneurship and creativity? Maybe you're intrigued by the ways it can fuel innovation and lead to unique business successes. Or maybe you're on a journey to harness your ADHD in a way that amplifies your creative and entrepreneurial spirit. If those thoughts have crossed your mind, well, today's episode is tailor-made just for you. We're excited to have Ian Anderson-Gray with us, a creator who has navigated the waters of ADHD to uncover strategies that leverage his strengths in the business and creative worlds. Ian's going to be sharing his personal journey, insights, and actionable advice for turning ADHD into an asset. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Ian, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing well. It's great to be here. I love this show, as I said before. It's great.
Yeah. Good to have you.
Love it. I'm so excited for this topic for Ian too, because if you don't know Ian, you should. Ian is the founder of the Confident Live Marketing Academy and is the host of the Confident Live Marketing Podcast, as well as his new Smart ADHD podcast. He helps entrepreneurs to level up their impact, authority, and profits by using live video confidently. As well as being a geek, husband, and dad to two kids, Ian is also a professional singer and lives near Manchester in the UK. Thanks again, Ian, for being here today.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I love the way you just stopped at the word geek there. You know,
emphasis on the right words. You know, it's all about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So let's jump right into this, Ian, because you and I have been friends. What was it? We talked about it this morning because I was like, when did we first meet? And what'd you say? It was like 2015. Is that when?
Yeah. 2015. So Social Media Marketing World 2015. I think we didn't know each other before that, but like meeting in person was at Social Media Marketing World 2015.
Yeah. And we've done stuff, met in real life and been parts of masterminds and all sorts of things. So I've known Ian for a while, but he actually went and got diagnosed as an adult. And so I'm really excited about this because we're going to be talking about what like understanding ADHD is. So Ian, why do you think ADHD is kind of prevalent among like entrepreneurs and creatives? Because I think more people have it than not. So.
Yeah, and I mean this is maybe kind of one of the myths or stigmas. Like some people are saying, well, everyone has ADHD, but we'll maybe get onto that in a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot more people are getting diagnosed because we understand it a lot more. But also, I think the modern world that we're living in, it's great. There's so many cool things for us to play with, but that can actually, I think, in a sense, like make it more difficult for people with ADHD. So our grandparents, they may have had ADHD, but the world was maybe an easier place for to be ADHD. So that's the first thing. But also people with ADHD tend to gravitate towards entrepreneurship because generally speaking, we have more divergent thinking. We think out of the box, and also it fosters creativity. And we can carve out our own timetable as well, which works really, really well. And I've found that I tend to work really well. I will work like really, really hard for like 2 or 3 days. I get hyper-focused, I focus. And then Friday, I find I need to take that time off. So I have a kind of a much more flexible schedule, I think. And also we don't have to have a boss who doesn't right. understand us. I've spoken to some people who've had bosses who have really not understood the way their brain works. And so instead of focusing on their strengths, and there are strengths with ADHD, they've focused on the challenges that people with ADHD have. So I think that those are all the reasons: creativity, divergent thinking, flexibility, freedom, all those kind of things. There are some negatives too, but those are the positives.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. I think also knowing how your brain works is so important to understand how you will work best, right? And that's where that it's kind of a challenge when you do have a boss that doesn't understand. You want to know how you work well so that you can put your best foot forward with all that stuff. But I think for a lot of people, they don't really understand what ADHD is, right? Or they're just familiar with the stereotypes and they kind of say, no, that's not me. I don't have that. But what does it entail, Ian? Like if you could just narrow it down and kind of give a super, you know, quick summary of what does it entail and what is it like, I guess, living with it?
Yeah. And this was my problem. This is why I denied that I was ADHD. In fact, I remember I used to teach singing and I had a student who said he had ADHD. And I was thinking all these things, oh, you know, it's just an excuse. It's just, he's just giving this label. He's lazy, you know, and right. I was thinking all these things. And then I've seen people who are very hyperactive people, or they've always forgetful. And I thought that's not really me. So ADHD stands for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is not very helpful because it isn't really attention deficit. I have no problem hyper-focusing on stuff that I'm really interested in. It's just that I struggle with stuff that I'm not interested in. So you could call it attention dysregulation. Yeah. And then the hyperactivity is a funny one because I was pretty hyperactive as a kid, but I have no problem staying still. Now, what I didn't realize is that hyperactivity can also mean like in the brain. And then I started to realize how much was going on in my head. And I was thinking, no wonder I need afternoon naps. There are as many different types of ADHD as there are people with ADHD. I think that's really important. So it's really helpful to think of ADHD as a neurological difference, that it's a difference in the way the brain works. And people with ADHD tend to have an unreliable access to what we call the prefrontal cortex. So this is the front of the brain. And this is really important because this, the area of the brain that helps with things like planning, emotional regulation, executive functions. So for example, you know, storing information, remembering short-term memory, things like that. And what I didn't realize is that one of the top traits for people that people have with ADHD is emotional dysregulation. We tend to have very big emotions. And over the years, I've had some people say to me, Ian, you're so sensitive. Like, don't be so sensitive. And so we tend to like have emotions either number one or possibly two or 10. It's like not in the middle, big emotions. And that can be a really good thing, but not always. So the sensitivity sometimes to noise and stimulation. So like at parties, if there's lots of loud music and somebody wants to talk to me, it's not going to happen. So like things like noise cancelling headphones can really help. Executive functioning. So this is organization, tasks, maintaining focus, and things like that. So We can come on to some of the misconceptions, but that's basically what ADHD is.
So I wanted to kind of, and we had a great comment. It says, this was written for me. Didn't know that's what I had until my daughter's doctor told her that's where she got it. So, a lot of people are finding out as they get older that, they may suffer from some of the effects of ADHD or struggle because of that. I know also, and when I was researching for this show, I kind of dove into some articles, and there's a difference between being easily distracted and having ADHD. And I know a lot happened during the pandemic. In fact, there's people in my family who we can't get the medicine that they need because it's been kind of overdiagnosed, and people are getting on this, and it's hard to find the drug that kind of helps people cope with ADHD, at least here in the States. So I guess as we move on to these myths and misperceptions about ADHD, like, what's the difference between being easily distracted and having ADHD? Like, when people say, I know I'm easily distracted, but I've never been clinically diagnosed to have ADHD.
Yeah. And I suppose I need to kind of get the warning out of the way, the medical warning. Like, none of us are experts here in this. And so, like, if you're concerned about any of these things, then do see a medical professional. But like, if you're identifying with any of these things, it's good to look into it. And so, yeah, one of the things that I heard a lot. So when I got diagnosed, it was a massive relief for me. A lot of guilt went. But then I started talking to people. People said, what is ADHD? Like, and I said, well, procrastination, these kind of things. And then people said to me, I struggle with it. Everyone struggles with that. And that's the thing. It's a spectrum. In some senses, like, everyone struggles with these things. Everyone struggles with procrastination or getting distracted. I love this. A guy called Rick Green, who's a comedian, and he has ADHD. And he put together this big, very popular documentary called ADD and Loving It. Mm-hmm. And he makes this analogy. Yeah, everyone has ADHD. Well, everyone has height. right. Some people are taller than others. And I think that's a really important thing. Like, my parents realized when I was about 12 or 13 that I'm short-sighted, that I needed glasses. So, yeah, that's a label. But it was a really helpful label because then I could do something about it. And I think that's the same with ADHD. Like, the problem is it's in the mental health kind of category. And so, yeah, that it's a tricky one. But when you know that you have something that is different or something that impairs you in some way, such as short-sightedness, you can go and get some glasses. And so I think that's really important. And it doesn't necessarily mean you need to go down the medication route. Medication can really help a lot of people. For me at the moment, I've not gone down that route yet. I'm looking at a more holistic approach to it. Who knows? I might look at medication at some point. So that's, I think, the label issue is one thing. Then there's the whole thing. People with ADHD are always late or disorganized. You know what? When I want to be, I can be more organized than most people. I was producing an event for this wildlife tracking organization, and there's so many moving parts with that. There were speakers from all around the world. I was thinking about all the kind of functionality, all the things that could go wrong. I was so hyper-organized. When it comes to my taxes and my finances, this is where I need some help, because I find that boring. And then things like being late, if it's important, like, for example, if I need to get to the airport, I get there ultra early because I know that if I don't, I'm going to be late. So I overcompensate. And then there's the other thing about impulsivity. Yes, people with ADHD can be quite impulsive. And I have been over the years, like, if I've seen like the latest smartphone, I would just go and buy it. But sometimes, like, people who have ADHD often have other things. So it could be anxiety, it could be other things. And so for me, anxiety tends to counteract my impulsivity. So I won't always go out and buy something new because I'm worried about the money or worried about the fact that this might not be the right thing for me. And I tend to overthink it. So there's a lot of things that go into it. There's not one size fits all, but those are maybe some of the misconceptions.
Awesome. Yeah. That's really helpful. I think what you said earlier, like if these things are resonating with you, go get tested or go talk to your health professional about it. And when I was reading these articles about this, when we were preparing for the show, what you said about, you know, the glasses thing, and like, if you would have short-sighted kids, you'd have them get glasses. When they get that diagnosis, they've said it's like you got glasses for the first time. You felt that relief. You were able to see and understand your brain a little bit better. So I think that's really important. And thanks for transparency about this. I know it seems like almost a taboo subject sometimes, but it's not. It shouldn't be. And I'm glad for you coming on and talking about this.
And it is. I've felt quite nervous about, because in a sense I'm kind of outing myself, aren't I? Like coming onto the show and talking about ADHD, and it's like not the done thing, you know. Right. I need to keep quiet and get on with my life. Thank you very much. And
well, you're also British, so that has a lot to do with it too. Yeah.
That is very true.
But no, that's very helpful for me to understand it as well. And I know, Ian, you kind of talked about how ADHD and being entrepreneurial or being a creative, it's very prevalent in that community. But from your experience, how has ADHD not only interfered, but also like influenced the creative process amongst particularly business owners and entrepreneurs, and yourself included, of course?
First of all, I want to say, I think it's too trivial to say that ADHD is a superpower, because I think that kind of goes over the fact that there are many, many challenges. And so I don't want to sugarcoat things. However, there are positives. Definite positives. And I think that's what I've realized when I look back at my career. It's when I've leaned into these elements that I've done my best work, getting to speak at Social Media Marketing World and some of the blog posts that I've created, and I've gone down these rabbit holes. It's all partly influenced by the way my brain works. So I think some of these things are quick decisions. I've heard people say that an ADHD brain is kind of like, it's like a supercomputer in our heads, but unfortunately, there's no cooling system. Or another way is like having a Ferrari engine, but with, I'm not very good with cars, like a really bad car's brakes.
Pinto's
brakes, you know? And so the quick decisions are great. There are some ramifications of that. They're also the out-of-the-box thinking. So like, I love to do things a little bit more, a bit differently and creatively to what other people are doing. That just floats my boat. Mm-hmm. And being different. Now, sometimes that can be a problem, but I think often we want to do things differently. And also following my curiosity. I've realized that whenever I try and do what people say I should be doing, which is like, I need to have a proper, you know, strategy, and I need to do things the way people say I should be doing it, that's when I've made my biggest mistakes. And it's also when I've got really bored and frankly depressed. When I've gone down the rabbit hole and followed my curiosity, I'm not saying that it's always served me well. There have been some, you know, many disasters along the way, but I've had fun and I've created some amazing things. Like the first course that I did when Facebook Live came out back in 2016, and I was dabbling with OBS Studio. Oh my goodness, OBS Studio, those were the days. Thank goodness for Ecamm Live, that is all I can say. But back in those days, I went down the rabbit hole and I created this really fun thing, and I was able to produce this course. But when I followed sometimes what people said I should be doing, I've just not been able to make it work. So I think hopefully that answers your question. It's creativity and that innovation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like it gives you permission to explore that as well. I guess once you understand what you have, you know, it becomes less of why am I going down this rabbit trail of no, this is my creativity. This is who I am, and allow me to explore that and learn from that.
So I want to go into this next section where we're talking about kind of some strategies maybe for entrepreneurs and creators who may struggle with this, may have been diagnosed, may have not. What are some of these, you know, significant challenges? You kind of mentioned some of them, kind of being late. So you've made some hacks that you show up early to the airport. Yeah. But like when running your business with ADHD, you know, what are some other ways that you have acknowledged those facts, especially since you've been diagnosed? Like now you know why, and now you can kind of make a plan. What are some of those that you have overcome and how you've kind of overcome them now with this new knowledge that you have?
Yeah, and not knowledge is just so, so important. I remember like just when we first knew each other, Jeff, like, mm-hmm. but you know, nearly 10 years ago, like I was beating myself up inside about how like I was not good at certain things or how I thought I wasn't good. And so one of the big challenges, a lot of people with ADHD, not all, many, have pretty low self-esteem and they have this negative inner dialogue. Now, I know like a lot of people do, but this is really heightened with people with ADHD. So I think, first of all, be aware of that and be aware of that inner dialogue and that it can be a challenge. That's taking me a long time to, and I'm not there yet with this, but just like, oh, my inner voice is saying that I'm no good at speaking. So that's the first thing. Be aware it's telling you something. And actually, in some ways, you can almost give this person a name. This was something that our ADHD coach, Tamara Vizier, was talking about, actually personifying that inner voice. You can call it, so mine's kind of like he's trying to be a helpful librarian. He's got all these books and he wants to be really well prepared, but he tends to overthink things. And he says he wants to save me from something that's scary. And this is, again, something that people with ADHD struggle with. It's not being able to differentiate between something like speaking at an event and certain death.
You know? Right, right.
So the brain goes like, warning, you know, alert. So I think the first thing is being self-aware, being aware of that inner dialogue, talk to other people and start to make a list of truths about yourself. And this has been a real struggle for me, but actually speaking with others who have a much better idea of my strengths and making a list of those and being aware of my strengths is really important. The other thing I've found is sleep and being constantly tired. Because our brains are working so, so hard, things that really help with this are your diet, exercise, and calming down your nervous system. So things like just knowing things that are actually going to calm you down. So exercise definitely helps me. And you could also put the different tasks that you do into different zones. So this is from the book by Tamara Rozier, Your Brain's Not Broken. And she has this kind of four quadrants, which I suppose is, yeah, quadrant means four. So I suppose it was going to be four. But anyway, you've got at the top, you've got your high stimulation activities. So on one side, you've got the green, which is high stimulation and fun. It could be like, maybe you're into roller coasters. That's high stimulation and fun. But on the other side, you've got high stimulation and not fun. That might be you're speaking at a conference tomorrow and the dog has eaten your presentation and you're right, going to have to start again. That's not good. And then at the bottom, you've got low stimulation tasks. So the blue zone is on the right. That's low stimulation and fun. It could be like watching Netflix. And then the other, low stimulation, not fun. For me, that's bookkeeping, anything taxes, to do with
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Taxes.
Yeah.
What we tend to do, and it's a genius trick, we tend to put it off and put it off, those yellow zone tasks, until they tomorrow. You need to do it tomorrow, and it becomes a red zone task. So we're stimulating our brains in order to actually do the stuff. So knowing the different zones that these tasks are in is really important, because you can then try to, throughout the week, put these different tasks in at different times and be aware of how your brain works at different times of the day. Other thing is like struggling to finishing off tasks. Well, I think following my curiosity really helps, but also collaboration and delegation as well. Another thing I struggled with is burnout. And this is when I'm not listening to my body and my mind and I've just kept on going on and on and on. Maybe I'm comparing myself to others. So some time off. And I know, Jeff, you always tease me about, you know, how many holidays and vacations I have. But it's actually, there's a reason for it. I personally need that time. Now, everyone with ADHD is different. So some people will find different types of ways of relaxing. But yeah, delegation's important. Forgetting things. So my way of with that is to use technology. And we can maybe come on to that in a bit, but that's tools and things to help me with that as well.
So I want to bring up real quick, Connor, before we go on to the next question, is this is a good point by Gary. He goes, someone I work with is usually late to meetings, and I didn't realize it might be related to something that he deals with. So this is, especially in a workplace, this can be a sensitive topic because it has to do a lot. This is kind of a mental health kind of, I guess it would fit into there. So how do you deal with that in the workplace? Now, that person could be like just easily distracted, or they could be dealing with ADHD. So how would you suggest you manage something like that in the workplace? Do you take them aside and say, listen, have you been da 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 da? Or, I mean, what would you do in Gary's situation?
Yeah, no, it's a really difficult one because, again, we're all different. So for me, I tend to overcompensate. I've actually found, and this is not necessarily a good tool. So we tend to learn these bad tools. For example, we utilize anger, anxiety, or even things like self-loathing and shame to get us to do things because we've been late before. We don't want to be late. We don't want to let people down. And so we overcompensate. But some people don't do that. And it's not that they're not late because they want to be. It's actually one symptom that people with ADHD have is time blindness. And this is not like we're time lords in the Doctor Who universe or anything.
Right.
But actually time kind of runs in a slightly different way in our heads. And so like, for example, to get ready for this show, like I've got it in my calendar, but there are things that I needed to do in order to get ready for this. So for example, switching on my computer, making sure I've got notes so I know vaguely what I'm talking about. And it could be like getting to work. Well, like for some people, you just put getting to work in the calendar. But if you have ADHD, there are so many other things that you might not have thought about, like getting in the car. Have you got enough fuel in your car to get there? Where are your keys? You know, making sure that you've got them in the place. So I think what I would say is if somebody is struggling getting to work on time, I suppose this is understanding maybe why they are struggling with that. And is there anything that you can do to help that? You know, there could be some tips and hacks to help with that. And I've learned some of those tips and hacks myself, but maybe some people are struggling with to find some of those things. So yeah, I think it's important to be flexible to a point, but at the end of the day, you know, if you're working in a business, in a company, you do need to get there on time, but there might be ways talking to them to help them maybe understand time better. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've found like working with VAs, that is brilliant because at the end of the day, I've come to realize that my prefrontal cortex, I don't really have as much access to that as I would like. And our prefrontal cortex is kind of like our butler, you know? So if you are more of a neurotypical brain, you can say to your prefrontal cortex, you can say, okay, can you tell me what I'm doing today? And can you tell me where my keys are? And it's kind of replies to you in a Jeeves-like voice. Oh, well, certainly, yes, your keys are in the hallway, top cabinet, and you have a meeting at 9 a.m. And you'll need to leave because there's a lot of traffic on a Wednesday morning. You need to leave a little bit earlier. With the ADHD brain, it doesn't work quite like that. And it's almost like this kind of angry neighbor saying, where you're always losing your keys, where are they? And so I think it's finding ways to help that person because their brain's wired differently. It's not that they don't care. Mm-hmm. It's just finding that out. And of course, this is assuming the person has ADHD. Right. They might not. They might actually just be, they can't be bothered and they want to be like, I don't know.
So I guess what I hear you say is like, don't come at them as, and you know, accusing them of something. Come as like, how can I help? Like, and then, you know, maybe they don't even know that this is, you know, bringing the rest of the team down. And it's, you know, you can say like, hey, I've noticed this. Maybe, you know, maybe you need to talk to this person, but here's some maybe tech that'll help. Here's something that I found that helps me and not, you know, like you're late again, kind of a thing.
Well, it's dialogue, it's conversation, because at the end of the day, you don't know. And quite often what happens is the people with ADHD who are late, they probably are aware and they have this inner dialogue. You know, I remember telling you about that the angry neighbor who's saying, you're always late. You're just pathetic. You know, you may as well give up. You're going to get sacked. Sometimes those that inner voice can play and that actually exacerbates the situation. So actually it's important to kind of understand what's happening and to find ways to help. And there are definite strategies. I mean, you can go down the medication route and that can really help. But there are holistic approaches as well, and there's tech and there's other ways as well. So there you go. That was part one of this bonus episode. I will be back next week with a normal episode, and I'll play the rest of this interview. later on sometime, not quite sure when, but hopefully soon. I'd love to know from you if you're enjoying these episodes. This is brand new. I'm just a few weeks into the Smart ADHD podcast and the YouTube channel. So if you haven't discovered the Smart ADHD website, it's at smartadhd.me. There's the Smart ADHD YouTube channel. So we've got most of these are on there as videos. So if you want to see in video form, you can do that. And of course, you can follow, subscribe to these podcasts in your favorite app, podcasting app, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever. You should find it there. And do spread the word. You know, this is always the case with new podcasts. It's these things can tend to grow quite slowly. And I would love to get the word out there so people can learn. And, you know, my aim is that this is going to help a lot of people. And also, please do get in touch. You can just email me at ian@smartadhd.me. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know how you're getting on with this and if you've got any thoughts for the future. Anyway, enough from me. I will see you next week on the Smart ADHD podcast. Toodaloo.